This is The Basics Guide to Women's Wrestling presents The Basics Guide to Wrestling Reality. Probably your only source, but definitely your best one for recaps of the shows nobody asked for and bits of wrestling gossip you don't need but will make you go. And we are back this week. I'm Liz. And it's been a very intense week, and I don't see how a lot of people wouldn't be upset or angry by the turn of events in DC. I know a lot of us weren't surprised that it happened, but it still doesn't make it any less upsetting to see, you know, like the actions of these traitors play out. If you absolutely are surprised, I would suggest reading back on all the warnings many people of color were doling out all the way back to 2015. And I guess you could consider this the pod statement on the matter. No matter how big or small a platform may be, we understand the importance of putting our stance out there, if not to disassociate from certain negative groups, but also just to reassure those out there that they're not the only ones thinking, is this real life? Is this really happening? Like, you are not alone. No, we get it. So I guess with that being said, I have been indulging in some very passive TV watching. And if you have been too, and you're here, first of all, thank you, then you watch Total Bella's Return. Let's talk about the episode. So the last episode we saw was Nikki and Artem already driving out to California. They can't have their baby in Arizona. Insurance, you know. And as this episode starts, you know, they're driving away. I couldn't figure out exactly where they were driving from, because they pulled over so Nikki can pee. Like, she's already having to pee. And they had like one of those porta potties, and they pulled over and there's like a fence. This isn't some highway. This isn't I-10. So I was very curious, like, which direction they were driving through, because my conspiracy theory here is that they weren't even like on the road. They already knew it was going to happen. So they just drove around like the backyard of Scottsdale. I don't know. But basically, Nikki already forgot all of her baby shit. She forgot Mateo's outfit in her old nursery. And so she's calling Bree to just see if it's still there. They're talking about maybe should we turn around and go get the stuff. And one of the things that I had to point out was Birdie was trying to play with this one ship, and Nikki tells her, like, oh, be careful with that because it's vintage. I just thought, like, of course he would have a vintage toy in a nursery, because that makes sense. It's just like rich people things, you know. But the next call that Nikki gets, Bree tells her that their mom had to be rushed to the Mayo Clinic. And it's very serious, because that hospital specializes in just like high risk neurological patients, you know. So the fact that Kathy had to go in is like super scary. And so Nikki and Artem decided to just turn around and go back to Phoenix. Like, they have to be there for Nikki's and Bree's mom, because she's gonna need surgery. She's gonna need brain surgery. I don't know if I caught exactly what she had, but the surgery has to be done, like, I guess on her spine or in that area, obviously. And it's a huge risk. They were talking about having her maybe postpone the surgery until after she met the grandbabies, after they're born, because there was a very real and high possibility that she wouldn't make it. So, yeah, this episode, while as intense and as serious as the issue was, it was still kind of light. It was just showing the realities of, you know, what a lot of families go through when they're going through this kind of stress or crisis. And you can kind of tell through this episode. You see, yes, Nikki and Bree are at the end of their pregnancies. They're not feeling it. But you see the same in, like, Brian and Artem, where it's just kind of a waiting game. And then to like be in the middle of the pandemic and sort of I don't think Arizona had a real lockdown, but in the middle of the pandemic, having to stay home, just trying to distance from everybody. This is one of the shows that I think kind of captured it better than some of the other reality shows that have been filming through COVID. Mostly because they're they're at home. They're not like out and about as much as you see in these other shows where they're throwing parties every week and or people traveling, just traveling across the country. It's I know that the beginning of the year it wasn't as clear how serious this pandemic was, but seeing it play out on film is just really weird, because I guess hindsight is 2020, right? So the twins are talking with Kathy. They're there with their stepdad, Johnny, which was funny because Kathy made a comment about how, oh, if anything were to happen to her, they have to take care of Johnny. And, you know, like, he's your stepdad, guys. But, I mean, he became their stepdad when they were already grownups. Like, they were they actually are the reason why Kathy and Johnny are married, because the Bellas worked with him. He's the one that was like pushing them in WWE. I'm also pretty sure they had like a weird angle with Johnny, so I just thought that was kind of funny, but still very serious situation here. And yeah, they're talking about do they wait until the babies are born to go through with this? And they decided that Kathy has to go in, you know, right away, and hopefully everything just turns out well. And while they're waiting, I guess she was in surgery for over, I can't remember the final hour, but Johnny was in the hospital for like 11 hours just waiting for her to be done. So it's really scary to be in that situation. I get it. And the girls are back at home, just kind of, you know, I think they were barbecuing, and you're just kind of trying to keep calm during that situation. You know, their husbands are doing the best that they can right now to kind of keep everything normal as possible. You know, a couple of things that came out, like just a couple silly things, was Artem and Brian talking about trying out a breast pump, because Bree loves to push that on everybody. It's like, if she's feeling pain, she wants everybody else to feel it too. So yeah, they're trying out the breast pump on Artem. They put the pump on Birdie's belly too. But I love how Brian was just like, oh yeah, I did that. Later on, Brian gets him and Artem Prego bellies. I don't know, something was up with them where they were also like the water, it simulated their water breaking too. I don't know. It didn't look like it was giving any contractions. It was just like the Prego belly, and they were sweating from wearing it. It's so much worse than that. Trust me on there. So Kathy is good after her surgery. She's home. She's recovering. The twins can go visit her, and yeah, like, what a relief, because there you had this little package or segment, just a part of the show where they're talking about how Kathy is like their rock and how she's been with them, especially during their careers and stuff, and knowing her backstory too, that she had to be a single mom raising the twins and then their other brother. This whole situation sort of puts Bree in like this weird headspace of wanting to move or something having to change. Just like, you know, we all kind of get that when we see, you know, someone, especially someone that we would think is so young, or when they pass away, or if you kind of go through like that trauma of nearly losing someone, you have to think about your life. Like, you have to put everything back in perspective again. What's important? And I guess this does happen with Bree, where she's just like, okay, maybe I don't want to live here. Like, I want to move. I want to be able to move somewhere that's going to make me truly happy. And so I guess Nikki and Bree had been already talking about wanting to move to California. So they bring it up that maybe they want to live in Napa. And I love that one of the selling points to Brian is that if they get their house in Napa, they'll more than likely be downsizing. That's like the magic words that you have to give to him, is like downsize, smaller. Also trees, mountains. Well, I don't know about mountains in Napa. I haven't been there, but trees, nature, that those are, they know how to play it. And Yeah, he had made a comment that I guess Bree does this a lot where she, you know, they get settled, and if she feels just any sort of discomfort or any annoyance, even like how little it is, she wants to kind of, she doesn't, or they don't know how to solve it. Maybe it's moving. And I guess this makes sense considering their careers. They're used to being on the road. They're used to like that go, 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 and not settling in just one place. And I think that's okay too. So it makes sense that Brie would want to. I mean, she's not a wrestler anymore. She's not traveling, and she's at home with the kids. It's like a huge, huge life change. It could you be experiencing a shock going into that type of lifestyle after, you know, the cool, or maybe not cool, but just like the hectic and travel schedule that comes with being a wrestler. And yeah, it makes sense that she would want to just like go out and do this type of what some people would think is crazy. But do that kind of, take that risk, take that new risk, and just have like a new life for a little bit, or a new story to tell, you know. And I'm going to say that deep down, Brian wants that as well. You don't see him putting up a super big fight about it. Just like, you know, like, oh, I'm the husband and I have to like give a little bit of pushback. But you know, he wants to. I did take a note of this because they have a Ram truck commercial that played in the show like so many times, and they're using Learn to Fly. And I finally feel like that old person, like shaking their fist, like they sold out, but whatever, get that money. So back to the show. Yes, they're talking about moving to Napa, moving to, you know, where there's trees and a nicer climate. And so we know this happened. It came out that they moved. So I think, I don't know, going into these next few years, I think a lot of people are going to be feeling this type of urge to change some part of their lives, to make a significant difference that from their routine, and also from being locked up in your house probably for over a year. So I get this. I think a lot of people can relate. I love Total Bellas. Anyway, Brie loses her mucus plug. I really do appreciate their, it's not even, I wouldn't say graphic, but just that, you know, they give the real portrayal of what it's like. We didn't really see that over on Ms. and Mrs. Brie is talking about losing her mucus plug. She took a picture of it and they're showing it to Artem. Like, I would never show that to my brother-in-law. That's just weird. But I mean, we know that they are very close family. They are very, very tight knit, and it's good that they don't have that type of shame around mucus plugs. This was the part of the show where they are just in waiting mode. They all look a mess. Their clothes look like they have been so worn in. They are just waiting for these babies to come. And so I think it was, oh yes, earlier in the episode, Brie and Nikki just confirmed that Nikki was going to stay in Arizona. She's going to have the baby there. And this is why I know that this is all set up. She was never going to go to California. She probably did ask about the insurance thing months and months before. They told her, you know, what we saw on the show, but she probably had it resolved way from the beginning. So I do take a little umbrage with that, because I was very invested. My feelings were very invested, and I feel a little bit led on, but it's okay. I still get it. These are important stories to put out about our American healthcare system being a total failure. But we know that Nikki probably did have that money to cover any type of emergency if it came up. And I guess we'll see about it next week, because that's the actual birth episode. I wonder if it's the last one. Not too sure, but anyway, they're going to their doctor appointment. Nikki and Brie get to go together, and I'm telling you, they like her. They just give the real portrayal of what's going on in those doctor's offices. Brie was actually recording while the midwife or doctor was measuring their cervix, and yes, like the blanket curtain is blocking it, but that doctor totally has her fingers up Nikki's vag there, or both of them. While Bria's recording, Nikki's water breaks, and you hear Bria like, oh shit, the video stops, and they come back, and Nikki's like, Bria, I'm really upset that you stopped filming my water breaking. Like, Bria went into like rescue mode here. She stopped filming because she was like, oh, this is serious, like, it's not all teehees. And I just think it's funny that that's where Nikki's first thought was, like, why didn't you record that for me? Good for her for wanting to document every single step. So now, even though Bria lost her mucus plug, which would put her on that track to labor, Nikki's water breaking puts her ahead. And I love that they make a competition, or that Nikki anyway makes a competition out of who gets to go into labor first. And she joked about it, but nope, she's doing it. Classic Nikki. So yeah, that was like this episode. We'll get to see what happens next week. I know it looked like maybe Bria was in the OR. She wants to have like that natural birth, but I guess it just didn't work out that way. I think it was her in the OR, but one of them is definitely getting the C-section. So I'm kind of excited for this next episode because I am not pregnant. And it's a very good reminder of why, yes, no, I wouldn't want to go through that again. And I actually wonder who is watching these episodes or that haven't gone through the experience, who maybe are not feeling this season because of obviously the topic. I'm just kind of curious to see who can't relate to these stories that are happening this season. But who knows? We'll find out too once the babies are here how things are going to shift just away from pregnancy talk, because that's not everybody's cup of tea. So yeah, that's your recap this week. Don't think we had a Ms. and Mrs. So that's total Bellas. Bye bye to the prim and the proper. Bye bye to the pink and the pasture. So I am a little bit excited that Ms. and Mrs. didn't happen this week because I watched the Broken Skull Sessions hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he had Bailey on as his guest. So yes, I already told you this is the very pro Bailey podcast. So you're going to get the discussion on the discussion between Stone Cold and Bailey. So I talked about this with Joseph too on our wrestling recap episode. So check it out this week as well. We talked about how much Stone Cold gushes over Bailey's work. Like, he really, I haven't seen any of his other episodes, so I don't know if he like gasses up everybody, but I think Bailey is probably his favorite wrestler right now. Bailey and Sasha. The way he talks about them is like the way I feel about them. They are doing so much good work right now in the company. They are the best. Sasha has been named the best superstar this year. And really, because they carried this whole SmackDown, I would even say brand, during this pandemic, because they were appearing on Raw, on SmackDown, on NXT, because they were the tag team champions again. They were double champs together. It was such a good run for both of them together. And Bailey, since winning Money in the Bank over a year ago and cashing in on Charlotte, we saw her whole transformation throughout the year. And it's being recognized by Stone Cold on this episode. This format that he has, or at least for this episode, was pretty cool because he kind of goes through her entire career. They brought up videos from her auditioning for NXT or for WWE, her talking about how she worked with Dusty Rhodes, who is really good at helping like these wrestlers create their characters and develop them, and how she just really had a hard time. And even like we saw her have that hard time transitioning out of NXT. She was the hugger. It worked very well down there, and just because it works over on NXT doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate well to these main shows when she debuted anyway. And a lot of people couldn't really get behind this hugger character. It just wasn't coming across very well. So it wasn't until she actually did turn heel, went into the role model character, that we saw like a whole other side of her, more serious side, but also not serious. Just like that attitude, that carefree attitude you need to have, I think anyway, where you're not taking it as seriously, but your love is still coming through. And I think that's what she does really well with this role model character. And she's having fun with it, obviously. They talk about his favorite match with Sasha, which also happens to be everyone's favorite match. And that's the TakeOver Brooklyn match that they had together, where Bayley won the championship. And a lot of people like the Iron Woman match too, which is so good. So good. Because that was the first ever Iron Woman match in WWE. And I believe it was, I wanted to say it was the main event of the TakeOver, but actually the TakeOver Brooklyn match was the main event. The Iron Woman match in itself is a really great match too, because it is different. And that's like the best part about watching Sasha and Bayley work together, is they are so creative. And, you know, hearing Bayley's like psychology too, is that she wants to make every match different. Her match with Sasha at Hell in a Cell, she brought up here. She watched old Hell in a Cell matches. She watched Sasha's old Hell in a Cell matches, because she's already done it twice, and she wanted to make it different. And they did. Like, it's the best one. Let's just say it. Come on. Steve Austin points out the same things that we've been pointing out. The way that they used the cell, they didn't have to go climb to the top of it the way most people do. They were using it to, just the way they incorporated it into their match was so good. And he also talked to her about, just like her coming through WWE as a fan. And I think she started wrestling when she was like 17, or that's when she decided she wanted to be a wrestler. And I like really admire that. And like, not that I don't think I would even want to be a wrestler, but just if like I had even known that was a possibility, I'd have given it very, very, second consideration. Because at that time when I started watching wrestling in the 7th grade, 8th grade, the women that came out at the time, you know, being like Trish, Lita, Jacqueline, I think I watched when Sable was already like teetering off, but even Sable, was her name like Luna? All of those women that came out during that time were so cool. And then they did the whole Divas thing, which it really did turn me off for a few years. And we, again, talk about this on this podcast a lot, but it's just really inspiring, I guess, to that Bayley and Sasha also watched these eras and were still like, I want to do this. And hey, they changed it. They totally changed the game. They brought up, the four horsewomen, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, them really being the ones to just kind of make everyone take women's wrestling seriously again, especially in WWE, that's for sure. So they talk about her career, how she came up through training, and her role that she's been in for the last year. She's not the champion anymore, so it's kind of like, okay, what's in store next? And usually after someone, especially the women, they lose their title, they kind of go into the background a little bit. They're off of stories and TV for a while. And this isn't the case with Bayley. I think it's just a testament to her, her own star power. You know, we know that Sasha really is like the greatest wrestler in the planet. But the greatest wrestler in my heart is Bayley for sure. And yeah, just to see her kind of persevere, or give us a whole other side of her sans title, is really cool. And yeah, if you listen to this I don't know if it's a podcast, but it's, yeah, Broken Skull Session. I think it's really good inspiration source material. So check it out. Thanks for listening this week. I am the Semi Basic on Twitter, Instagram. You can also follow me, Inga McKinley, on Twitter, and that's usually where I recap other reality shows if you want to get my bad opinion on those. But yeah, stay safe. Try to stay sane. Listen to this podcast. Watch some bad reality TV to just check out a little bit if you need to. You're not getting any judgment from me, so I'll talk to you next time.